I have to think sometimes what month it is and what week it is. It's the second week of April, and here we are in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett, and really appreciate you. Very busy time of year, so thanks for taking 15 minutes to talk to us.
No, it is a busy time, but this is always an important thing to be able to communicate through. Appreciate what you guys do.
Sure. So let's just start with a little follow-up from the State House. The governor quietly signed the hate crimes bill, but still being criticized, as you know, it does allow judges to enact harsher penalties for crimes because of bias. It lists victim characteristics, but it leaves out of certain items, gender identities, age, and sex. So is this bill a good compromise in your mind or no?
It's better than it was, I guess. We still made a little progress, but they left it a little short, obviously. You know, I understand the emotions of people saying you can't read people's minds. I get that. But I think judges and juries are pretty good about reading into if anything is amiss there when it comes to some kind of a hate crime. They'll be able to figure that out and apply the appropriate, you know, disciplinary, whatever that sentence is going to be. It would just be nice if we could kind of be consistent. You know, I see this as a, one, it's just being open and honest about all that. But then two, it's an economic development issue, because when you have businesses that are looking for that kind of leadership from a state, let's do it. Let's just get done with it. So maybe, you know, they took this step and at least that happened. But maybe next year they can come back and clean it up even further. And I know it's kind of a moving target sometimes, because they say, what all should you include? But we ought to at least include all the things that we know of today. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Let's talk about other legislation I know you're following very closely. It's the gaming bill. It gets another hearing on Tuesday. Of course, this segment airs on Wednesday, so a lot will have changed. But we can get an update, because we haven't talked about it in a month. Right now, I believe it will get a hearing from the House Ways and Means Committee.
That is correct.
It's been revamped since we last talked. What are your thoughts on the new updated gaming
bill? Everything that's in that bill, I think there's a couple things that I like the fact that they didn't allow everybody to use their cell phones for sports betting. I think that was too big of a jump into it. So that kind of made sense to me personally. Not that it affected Terre Haute as much, but I guess that makes sense to go down that road. Then the other big change, I think, was adding the fee in for Spectacle in order to move the casino in Gary and potentially locate one in Terre Haute. That just seemed very exorbitant from a fee perspective, because it's $100 million for Gary, and then whoever gets the license in Terre Haute, it's a $50 million fee. And Spectacle has to give up their license in Gary. So they went and bought two licenses, now they got to give it back to the state, and they'll have to pay $50 million again if they would be successful in Terre Haute. So, wow, that's a big change to the bill. I still feel good about it moving forward. But what it looks like after this week, I don't exactly know. My guess is most of it will get worked out in a conference committee once it gets through the rest of the House. That's kind of what I'm told from, you know, the hallways, if you will, that there's still work to be done on this. And everybody's generally okay with all of it. There's just certain people have certain things they want, and that hasn't all been worked out yet.
So when you hear a $100 million fee, of course, you know, for us, that's not something we'd want to hear. Mm-hmm. Is that a deal breaker for a casino firm?
It could be, because, you know, they just purchased those two licenses just a few weeks ago, did not know anything about these fees until they were announced, you know, recently. And you add that on top of their initial investment, plus what they're going to have to do to build the new casinos. You know, they're talking about spending $450 million to build two new casinos. I mean, it's a significant amount of money, and it could be a showstopper. I mean, it very well could be.
So it seems like that's a way to prohibit this from moving forward from legislators.
Is
that the feeling you're getting?
But that's not what when I talk to the legislators who are part of the committees, both in the Senate and the House, you know, we've been through public policy, tax and fiscal, you know, ways and means. When I talk to those legislators and listen to the testimony of everybody that was there, listen to the questions from the legislators, and in talking with them after the hearings, most people think it's time to take some action here. The state is going to benefit greatly with the new casino up in Gary. and they're going to benefit by placing one in Terre Haute. So they're going to generate new revenue that they're not getting today. So that part seems to be a no-brainer too. But then on the other side of it is, from the business perspective, casinos are just different anyway because the state controls that business. But it's like you got some people that want to invest, the state's going to benefit, why would you not do this? And that's kind of where I'm at, and that's what most legislators say, we're fine with this.
So what do you expect to happen tomorrow, Tuesday?
I don't expect any significant amendments to the bill. You never know. I mean, never say never, but we're not proposing any of anything of significance. And I would suspect that it'll make it through there tomorrow. And this week, I should say, whichever day it plays out, that should be done this week. And then it'll go to the House, should pass there, and then it'll go to conference committee. And that's where the things will be worked out.
A final decision for a jail is supposed to come in mid-May. Now, that's per a federal judge. And I know last time I was here, we talked about a location between the mall and the wastewater plant. I went out there. It's not downtown, but it's not as far as some of the other places. Are you getting any kind of indication of where commissioners are leaning toward right now?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I've been told by the president of the commissioners that this location has a lot of challenges to it, just like we've said all along. It's going to cost more to build it here. You're going to have to build some part of the jail onto a second story or higher. A parking garage potentially, acquiring some additional land across the street. All of those things are going to be more costly than the site behind the mall, as an example, next to the wastewater treatment plant. So I don't think they've made a final decision. They're getting their appraisals and doing all the behind the scenes work, and hopefully they'll come out with an announcement soon. But I just don't see it landing here for several reasons that just don't make any economic sense.
And then what needs to be done to nail down the funding mechanism too for this? Because is that not necessarily in place
for the jail? They've got it in place. No, and they're already collecting it. So they're good to go on that. Obviously, the price keeps going up. So I'm sure they'll have to reevaluate what they proposed, and depending on whether they would decide to try to come here, if they did change their mind, and you'd have to add that additional cost in there, that could be a different situation. But right now, I believe personally they are collecting enough money to be able to build this jail.
And I remember consultants, and you mentioned this too, looking at scope and size of how this should be. Have those reports started trickling in as well?
I think some, and if they want to build a little smaller jail, I mean, I'm just looking at this from the mayor perspective, a taxpayer myself, that we need the appropriate size jail. You don't want to underbuild it, but if you can add on later when the time comes, if it's 5 years down the road or 10 years, I'm okay with that concept too. You got to find a way to package this that we can afford it and we get a new jail going, because that's the key. We've got to replace this current jail.
And that was that talk about the pod system.
Yep.
Is something that'd be easy to expand upon.
Exactly.
We should also note that officials are working to make the current conditions at the current jail more acceptable too. They're hiring more staff.
Yes.
and doing more for the
And they're doing those things.
Yeah.
It's just that physical, the building is not conducive for mental health and addiction services and separation of prisoners who maybe are sick or have some mental illness, or men and women even. I mean, the jail is just, it's overcrowded to the point where you can't segregate the population and be able to provide the services to them. So some of that you just can't fix till you get a new jail.
How about anything on the new convention center?
We're moving forward with the financing. So county council had a first discussion about that. City council will be doing that this week, really just agreeing to the payment schedule, if you will. $500,000 over the next 20 years is a commitment from the city of Terre Haute. So over the next few weeks, we'll wrap up all those official legal documents so that then the bonding process can happen. Once the bonding is put in place and we close on that in July, project go out to bid, get built. Hopefully we'll get construction started in September. That's the timeline we're on right now.
Okay. You just mentioned earlier before we started rolling that you've completed the financials for the 2018 budget.
And they're in Gateway. And, we were a little bit slower this year for a variety of reasons. Part of it's because of the conversion to the new system. And we had several audits last year, State Board of Accounts audits, an IRS audit. We had some key staff leave the controller's office for other positions. And just so a variety of things put us in a position to, we had a big year last year. And so we wrapped that all up. Everything's out there in Gateway. Now we're trying to finalize some things with our conversion. As this year, we're using the new system primarily, exclusively. And so, you know, there's just a lot of loose ends to tie up. And I really feel good about the position we're in now, and we're making some major advances. We'll be able to really do some good things this year with the new software. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any, is it too early to ask about any kind of bottom line numbers, how 2018 shaped up for you?
It's what we expected. So really, across the board, you know, we had some federal grants that ended negative. They always do. Our golf courses, but we made some progress there overall. Pretty much what we predicted, you know, at the beginning of last year, we held true to that. So no surprises of any kind. We're just still on that trek of now beginning to decide and determine what our reserve levels should be. So our major progress, and I'll share more of that when I do my State of the City.
Okay. When is the State of the City?
I don't have the exact date set yet. No, but it'll be in May. It'll be in May. I want to do it after the election now. I just, you know, don't want to get caught up in that. We're still collecting some data from some different departments. We had some other switches of software, and so I want to make sure our data is accurate. But we'll be rolling that out here. Probably be after the next time we meet, so we'll be able to firm that up next month when you're... Oh, wait a minute, you won't be here next month because it's election day.
It is.
That's right.
It is, yeah.
So I'll roll that out to the media and we'll let everybody know when we're going to do that, but it will be in May.
Okay. I just want to get your take on this recent, I don't think we talked about this, the state Supreme Court decision that rental property owners, now this was for Bloomington and West Lafayette, though could no longer charge rental fees greater than $5 per tenant. This is a 2014 state law. But it carved out Bloomington and West Lafayette. So Hammond sued and won, but Terre Haute's a college town too. Mm-hmm. And so it when you start talking to the mayor of West Lafayette and Bloomington, you know, they're saying that the ruling doesn't take into consideration the challenges that college towns face on that. And Mayor Hamilton called it a safety issue, mm-hmm. not being able to charge enough to be able to safely inspect
right.
all of these rooms. And we know there's a boom
there
here in Terre Haute
is.
Too. So how do you deal with those?
It's really difficult because a lot of the landlords don't want us to go in and inspect their, and we don't have any real authority to go do that here. We don't have one of those ordinances from years ago that kind of got grandfathered. They don't allow you to do much from the legislative perspective anymore. And it's frustrating because we know there are probably places out there that, you know, may not have all the exits clear, may not have the proper signage inside, proper, you know, smoke detectors, whatever that may be. And all we want to do is keep people safe. And so when we do inspections of commercial properties, that it's pretty easy to do, we find things all the time. You could just imagine you would find even more in residential settings. And so I think we just got to continue to find a way to work together, working with the landlords, especially in college towns. That's pretty typical to have, you know, a bunch of students crammed into a place, and you just need to make sure they're safe in that environment. And I know the landlords really want to, but sometimes they don't want to spend all the money that's necessary. So we need to find a happy medium. We can't put all that burden on them, but we need to be able to, as government, to be able to help with that and be able to do those inspections. Really, whether there's a fee or not, I would like to be able to do those inspections just to keep people safe.
Yeah, because then that part would have to come out of another part of the city
it
budget.
It would, absolutely. Yeah. So if you have a revenue source, then it makes it easier to do it. You can staff it and get it done in a timely fashion. But I'm even willing to do it, you know, just because we think it's important.
Just road projects, construction, at that time of the year where I know it's pretty busy.
It's crazy right now. So, you know, the beginning of last week, US 41, the project was started by NDOT to repair the road and then pave everything all the way across the city of Terre Haute. Very large stretch of 3-lane highway, you know, on each side, 6 lanes total through most of that stretch. And our first in Holman project was underway too. So we kind of had a bottleneck in the south end of Terre Haute. Things have improved dramatically. They've restricted it. It was down to 1 lane on 3rd Street, but it's open to 2 lanes and then 3 lanes in most cases. Our first in Holman project, weather dependent, we should wrap up next week. And so we'll get that open back up. We're going to be paving Holman. That's the first project on our schedule for paving this year at the end of the month. Margaret Avenue paving is wrapping up now and the overpass. And so, you know, once the plant opened, everybody wants asphalt. So we got our, you know, got our in line there. And I just ask people to be safe. You know, it's Work Zone Awareness Week. And we just really want people to be safe out there. You know, we have too many accidents, too many people distracted or on their cell phone or other things that distract them. We've got workers out filling potholes. You've got asphalt workers. You've got other city workers out. They're everywhere. So please be cautious and just drive carefully. Slow down. It'll, you know, you want to get there safely yourself. And so we're just trying to protect all those workers that are in our community right now.
Yeah, everyone's in a hurry, but if you leave a little earlier, then you won't feel like you're in such a
right. And we try to put information out on Facebook and others, so we'll tell you about those, you know, whether if we've got a road closed temporarily or whatever. Please, you know, use that to help you get around Terre Haute.
I just kind of wanted to finish up with the story we did last week on Indiana News Desk. We did an in-depth story on the First National Bank. It's a historic building that's being turned into the Candles Holocaust Museum. And until I saw the video of the inside of the building, I had no clue of the potential of what this could be. So this is really a two-way thing, because you get a historic building that's being restored by Indiana Landmarks, or at least they're helping for part of that. And then Candles is getting a new space.
Exactly. You know, I've got a long relationship with the Candles Museum as I'm on the board and helped get the new museum rebuilt after the fire down here on South 3rd Street. But it's really a hard place for them to bring students in buses, because you're using an alley and you're using a major U.S. highway on either side of a small building. And so when First Financial Bank decided to, you know, give this building up for that purpose, one, it's right downtown in the center of our downtown. Two, as you mentioned, it's a historic building that's going to be restored and saved. That's a tremendous thing. But then moving the museum into downtown proper is another feature that we can help sell our community with. So they'll have better space in a great location, and we saved a historic building downtown. So we thank First Financial Bank and Candles for moving that project forward, and we're going to do everything we can to be supportive of that.
That was all I had. Do you have any other announcements or news or anything else?
I don't think so. I mean, you covered.
Okay.
You always do.
All right.
You know, it's always kind of a moving target, but it's a busy time of the year. So we're getting ready to start budgeting too. And just, you know, it just goes through cycles. And right now we're really on a good run, and we want to sustain that. And it's just, I can't believe it's April. So this year is going to go very quickly, I think.